Christmas is coming. Woohoo! I love Christmas. I love Christmas, but do you know what? Christmas can bring a whole lot of stuff, can't it? A whole lot of mix-up stuff, families and all the rest of it. But at any rate, there's some great news about Christmas, and that's what I'm going to talk about today. Because for unto us a son is born, unto us a... No, unto us a... I should read it, but anyway, I will in a minute. I'll keep moving. I've got the wrong message here. Okay. I'm aware that there's only 3 weeks to Christmas, or I think it might even be a bit less. There is great expectation for Christmas, especially Christmas Eve. That's actually my favourite. It's that expectation. It's all going to happen. You get together and you watch those carols in town or Melbourne, and there's that expectation. And we're trying to get ready, aren't we? We're trying to prepare and be ready for that day. I love the Christmas story and the stories surrounding it. And Luke 1 is one of my favourite chapters in the whole Bible. I love Luke 1. So I challenge you, go and read it. In every version you can find. It's amazing. I'm going to use the Passion this morning. So I'm going to do four stories, storyettes. And the words that are on my heart today are those three. Aware, expectation, and ready. And I feel like God is giving us a little strategy for our Christmas season and our new year. So let's look at our stories with those words in mind. First of all, I'm starting with Elizabeth and Zachariah. Woohoo! They were an amazing couple. They were in the house of God. Elizabeth came from a family of priests and daughters of Aaron. So she had been born and bred into it. And so had Zechariah. He served in the temple as part of the priestly order of Abijah. So they both had been born and bred and nurtured and grown in the house of God. And they loved God. They served God. They were right in there. But there was something that just hadn't come about. They had no children. And in those days, to have no children brought shame. You know, there was something wrong with you. So there was great shame that shrouded no children couples. Do you know what? They would have been aware that God was in the business of bringing babies through old couples. Who are they? Abraham and Sarah. The scrolls would have come out. They would have read it over the generations. They would have known that God can do it. They would have been aware it was possible. But do you know what? There would have definitely been expectation. But I don't know whether you've been in this situation yourself, where you've prayed, expected, and believed for something for a long time. What can happen? Sometimes we get weary. Sometimes the expectation starts to dry up and die off a bit because the prayer for their children, for a child, hadn't come around. One day, Zechariah was chosen to be the one, and apparently there were lots of priests, so it was an honour, a once-in-a-lifetime honour, to go into the holy place and to serve the incense, etc. This was his day. I'm sure he would have been excited. I'm sure Elizabeth and he would have, you know, had a prayer in preparation for it, etc. And he gets himself in there, and what happens? He gets a bit of a shock because even though he had expectation, there was something that had drifted off and there wasn't a readiness for what happened. Because the angel Gabriel turns up and he says to him, "Hello, this is me. I've come from heaven." Now, I'd like just to let you know a little bit of background. There had not been a voice from heaven for 400 years. So they were out of the practice of hearing the voice of God. That happened many times over the history of the Old Testament. So you can understand a little bit, whew, my gosh, what's going on? So he was caught off guard. His expectation was low. And the angel Gabriel says to him, your prayer is answered. He's probably thinking, oh my gosh, which prayer was that? He'd forgotten about those prayers because he had got a bit tired. He says, your prayer has been answered. You and Elizabeth are going to have a son. Oh, wow. And it's going to be a forerunner of the promised Messiah. Now, he knew what that meant because he was aware, because he'd been in the house of God all his life, and he would have known that there was somebody called the Messiah that was going to come one day. But poor old Zechariah, my gosh, he was caught off guard. He doubted immediately because he wasn't expecting it. And he wasn't ready to respond. Instead, he said to Gabriel, he reminded him, as if Gabriel needed reminding, he says, I'm an old codger. I'm old as the hills. He said, and actually, so is my wife. What are you talking about? How can that possibly happen? He said, listen here, Gabriel, I need a bit of a sign. My faith is a bit wobbly at the moment. I need a sign. Well, Gabriel said to him, because of your unbelief, because you couldn't respond, because you weren't on your front foot, he says, I'm going to shut your mouth. Because if the priests lacked faith, their mouths got shut and he couldn't speak. And he said, when your son, so he just proceeded with the word, when your son turns up, that will be your sign. Wow, that's incredible, isn't it? It makes me shiver because God never lets up on us, even when we're weak and wobbly. His mercy covers us. It's amazing. He didn't say, blow you. you're not with it. You're not trusting me. Forget that plan. I'm going to do it somehow, some other way. God doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He is so faithful. And he says, well, I'll just zip it for a while. And you know what? That was hard because and everybody's outside saying, oh, gee, is Zechariah dead? Has he done something wrong in there? He's been so long in there. And when he came out, instead of being able to say, yahoo, a son is on its way. Don't ask me how, but it's on its way. He had to go. You know, he couldn't say a thing. He missed out on that. Listen, it pays to be aware, to have expectation, and to be ready. We don't want to miss a fraction of it, of what God has got in store for us. So Mary, let's go to Mary in Luke 1:26. Mary was engaged to Joseph. So she was as happy as can be. She was engaged. They got engaged and married very young. She was a young virgin. And she was Joseph was from the descendants of David, so it was very good lineage. And they would have been aware of the prophetic word and the messages about a Messiah. It's not as if they wouldn't have known. They would have known. They were a couple who loved God also. They would have known a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Theoretically, they knew it. Do you know what I mean? They knew it here. You know how you can hear things. But it's been happening. Those words have been way back in the Old Testament and been said over and over for a long time. So they would have been ready with some expectation, but I don't think Mary was expecting it personally. It would have been a general expectation, but I don't think she would have been thinking, me? Well, The angel had another visitation. This angel's pretty busy. It's called Gabriel. And it turned up with Mary. And let me read this from... I thought I marked it, but I haven't. This is Luke 1, Please go there when you go home. Luke 1, I'm going to start from 26 or 7. Grace to you, young woman, he says, for the Lord is with you, and so you are anointed with great favour. Now, would she have been in a bit of shock mode? Of course she would have been. Having a huge angel right inside your living room, my goodness. Mary was deeply troubled over the words of the angel and bewildered over what this might mean. But the angel reassured her, "Do not yield to fear, Mary, for the Lord has found delight in you and has chosen to surprise you with a wonderful gift. You will become pregnant with a baby boy and you are to name him Jesus. He will be supreme and will be known as the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will enthrone him as a king." Mary said, "But how could this happen? I am still a virgin." Gabriel answered, "The Spirit of holiness will fall upon you, and the Almighty God will spread his shadow of power over you in a cloud of glory. This is why the child born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." My golly. "What's more, your aged aunt," and so she went on and told her a bit of history, because they didn't live near each other, but Elizabeth and Mary were cousins and they were related, and Mary knew she was old and hadn't had a baby. So the angel filled her in and said, "By the way, your old ancient auntie is pregnant with a baby also. Not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God." Now, have you got it? These aren't ancient stories and not for today. I'm here to tell you, God is saying to us, there is nothing impossible. This is, if you believe in God and Jesus coming through the way he did, you must believe that nothing's impossible in your personal life. Even when you can't see it, like Zechariah, you know, he couldn't see it. Then Mary responded. Now, she could have said, "Oh, golly gosh, that could cause a few problems. I'm engaged. And now you're going to tell me I'm pregnant. How do we deal with that?" But she didn't do a Zechariah because she could respond. She said, "This is amazing. I will be the mother for the Lord. As his servant, I accept whatever he has done for me. May everything you have told me come to pass." And the angel left. She was aware. There was some expectation, but she was a quick responder. She could step into it straight away, and what favour she had. Right. She was so amazed. I love the stories. Can't you feel it? This is the God we are here to love and serve. He is real. He is alive in every circumstance, whether we can see it or not. But I feel like he's alerting us to be aware, to have expectation, and to be ready to move. So let's go to the shepherds. Luke 2:8 is where you find it. A group of shepherds watching carefully. They'd been doing this for years, watching their sheep, looking after them, even the ones, night and day. You know, they're under the stars. They were watching in the dark. They were watching in the day. All of a sudden, that field lit up. Now, I love fireworks. I don't know whether you're like me, but I love fireworks. And on New Year's Eve, we're usually down the south coast and near a big golf course. And when they do those fireworks, especially really nice, good ones, big ones, you know, they up and shower down, it lights up the whole golf course. I love that. Do you know what? That's what happened for the shepherds. The whole field was lit up. Why? Because the angel had arrived again with radiant splendour and blazing glory of God. He said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Because, you know, you can imagine all of a sudden it's pitch black and the next thing it's up like luminous. He said, "Don't be afraid. It's good news. It's good news. The most joyous news the world has ever heard. It's for everyone, everywhere. That word is for us today. Can you believe that? Written all those years ago, it is for us today. It's for everyone and everywhere. Because today in Bethlehem, the Messiah was born. Wow. Would they have been aware? Yes, they would have known there was going to be a Messiah born sometime, somewhere, somehow. You will find a baby lying in a feeding trough. It will be your miracle sign. It's a miracle son. In such not a pompous arrival, a very humble arrival. But if they just found it, they might not have believed that who he was. But God made particular effort in showing those who were aware, who were expecting, and who would move. And they were people, they weren't kings and queens. Here they are, the shepherd boys. God chose them to show that the King of Kings had arrived. All of a sudden, not just one, but vast numbers. So we had one angel lit up this sky. Now we've got, it says it's armies of heaven arrived. I can just see all these grades of angels everywhere, all singing. Yeah. Luckily I'm a bit, not as free today, so I won't sing for you, but I could. Glory to God in the highest realms of heaven. This is the Messiah. If you've never heard it, you should. I'm going today, this week. It's amazing. For there is peace and a good hope given to the sons of men. Glory to God. Glory to God. It filled the whole atmosphere for anybody who had ears to hear. Then they disappeared. Went to heaven. Black. It was dark again. Just the stars. All dark. What did they know? How much awareness did they have? There was the prophetic words. Oh, yes, the prophet Isaiah. Remember that they would have said? Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, yeah, and Isaiah said also, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon whose shoulders? We think it's ours. That's how we live. He says it's on his shoulders. The weight of this world is on his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So, does that mean us? Yes, it does. There'll be no end. He's here. I reckon those guys sitting out under those stars, there would have been lots of conversation and chewing over these prophets' words. And I reckon their expectation didn't take anything much to ignite. And they were ready. There was a readiness. Let's go. Let's hurry and find this word. This word, that's what it says. This word that is born in Bethlehem. Remember John says, and the word became flesh. Let us go and find the word that is born in Bethlehem and see for ourselves what the Lord has revealed to us. Wow. He wants to reveal himself to you and to me. He's the same God. Nothing's changed. He's alive and he's real and he wants to talk to you. Then there's the wise men. Oh, these ones are the intellects. They're the scientists. They're the ones that have been gazing into the skies all their lives. They were trained star observers and they had observed, I think this is amazing, an unexplained phenomena in the heavens, which was somehow interpreted by them as a sign of the birth of the King of the Jews. How did they discern that? Because they were aware. and because they were expecting. They had expectation. So when they looked into the sky, they just didn't look, we've seen them before. No, there was something different. There was something changed. They quoted Micah 5:2, the prophet, he'd be born in Bethlehem. So they knew where he was going to be born. When they saw the star, their expectations just exploded. Wow! They were ready to go. There was no questions about them. They were on the march. And they reckon there was heaps of them. You know, we think that's the three with frankincense and myrrh and gold. No, they reckon there was heaps of them. And they had so much wealth transported to this little manger in a cow shed. Who sent them? God. He provided for Mary and Joseph. I think that's beautiful. He provided. They had nothing. He provided for them through these amazing guys. As they stepped out in faith, have a guess what? Now, this is very important for us. As they stepped out in faith in the one star they saw, what happened? It was in the east. The next thing, they started to walk towards Bethlehem, and this star came from the east and guided them totally and sat on top of that cowshed in Bethlehem. Listen, step in faith. Have awareness. Be expectant. And then step. Be ready. Step in faith. They didn't know that that star was going to guide them. But once they stepped, it immediately moved. Matthew 2:30, when they saw the star, they were so ecstatic that they shouted and they celebrated with unrestrained joy. Unrestrained joy. See, you know, I love it. I love it. It's catchy. It will affect our people. It will affect our Hornsby. It will affect the people we work with. If we have restrained joy, it was pretty good. That doesn't touch anybody. Anybody can be that. But when this thing is alive in us, when we say, my God is alive, and if it wasn't for his plan of salvation through Jesus, I would have no hope. I would have nothing. And you know what? There's some things in me that I have that can feel hopeless sometimes and I don't have answers for. But do you know what? My God, he carries my hope. And I don't want to get drift off into not being aware and lukewarm and a bit jaded, because God says, I'm here, I'm with you. I open the way. Nothing is impossible with me. And it's when we will step in, just like those shepherd boys, the scientists, when they stepped, God met them. God was there. He guided them. That's what can happen for us. The birth of Jesus was part of the God-given long ago promise to the people of Israel, but it's been signposted throughout the Old Testament into the New. And we are in this era now. We are in an amazing era because the promise has been fulfilled. We've seen Jesus alive as a boy, an adult, on the cross for us. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. We've seen all that. And he's given us the Holy Spirit. The wonderful Holy Spirit teaches us. He teaches us through the Word of God and dreams and visions and angels. Hello, it's the same God. I've had dreams in the last 2 weeks. Listen, be alert, be expectant that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. Don't think, I did have a dream, but I haven't got a heck of a clue what that was. Listen, if you still remember that dream the next day, God will show you what it means. There is meaning behind those things. Don't be, be alert. Live a life aware what God wants to do for us, he has, and through us. With an expectation, it will happen. It will happen. And respond. you might say, oh, you know, Eve, you know, it's all right for you. You know, you look like you've got it all together. Like fun. And but do you know what? Mary and Joseph had a few problems attached to that. It wasn't all easy. Because if all of a sudden they weren't married and Mary was pregnant, Joseph would have had to have shut off the engagement and they would have been killed. It was terrible. Engagement was like a marriage. And there was no future, no life. But Joseph, and he was in a terrible state. How was he going to work it all out? How did he work it out? He had a dream. God wasn't going to leave him in the lurch or in the dark. He revealed to him what had happened and to take her as his wife. Not intimately, but as his wife and keep moving in with the plan. So I'm just trying to say is it wasn't easy. They had to have faith to work that through. So life doesn't always serve up simple, but it's always possible. What's the time frame? I do not know. These people had waited so many ages before Jesus came. It took a lot of faith to have any expectation on it, but it happened. And I think that's what God wants us to know. There's two things. So I just want to make it into a bit of a, bring it to practical. And I'm just going to use our situation with our move in the church and our move into a unit. So the move with the church, our last move, we went into the Memorial Hall. And that was great. That was good. But then we became aware there was more for us. This wasn't everything. This wasn't the end place. So then expectation started to stir. And so David says, goes to the people who own it, we would like a morning service. What's the go? Sorry, there's no vacancies. You know, just slam. Not waiting till the new year and saying, well, but there's a possibility. No, there was no possibility. But this expectation had started to stir, okay? And then out of nowhere, off our radar, the availability of PCYC came. And because we were aware of a change, we had expectation and we sort of tried to move on something. It's very hard to get venues in Hornsby. We were ready to move. If we'd have floundered and said, oh, no, we'll have to take 6 months to make sure all our people will be able to come with us or whatever, you know. No, we were able to move straight away. So that's just an example in our everyday life. Like for this unit, we were going to move into a unit, but it kept getting put off. And but we were aware that it was available for us. There was an expectation that it could happen. But of course, I was a bit, you know, I was getting a bit, well, maybe we shouldn't. And then our work dried up, but for both of us. So we're thinking, oh my gosh, how can we do this? And then we started to go back to our prophetic words that God spoke to us about it. Because you can go quickly into doubt and fear. And we said, and God had said to me, don't hold back from going into a bigger place, a bigger space. And so I thought, no. And David, of course, we keep moving, even though we were still not able to move. But we got to this point and David says, right, I'm going to book the truck for Monday. And there was still not the certificate of occupancy, hadn't come through. But David said, I'll book the truck for Monday. And so awareness, expectancy. And then there was this moving, starting to move. Was it available yet? No. But on that Monday, it came through. So it's just an example of everyday life. I feel like God's giving us a key how to do it, to be aware. Don't be sleepy. Don't be sleepy. Keep aware of what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're meaning. Keep in touch with our God. Have expectation. Don't expect nothing or the small, have expectation. He's a big God. Look what he did. And it's for you. It's not just for people who are in politics or people with standing. It's for all of us. And it's the absolute best. Amen. And then we have to be ready to move. When God speaks we've got to move. No faltering, no holding back, no thinking, oh no, not sure. God says he is the God of the impossible. And he didn't expect any of these people to do it by themselves. He personally came through angels to hold their hands and tell them and explain to them and leave them. But we've got the Holy Spirit and he is present with us and speaks to us. And he's our counsellor, he's our helper, he's our friend, he's our advocate. He's the presence of God on this earth for us. So let's stand. So God, I thank you. I thank you for your superb plan to send your son in this way. I thank you for each group of those people who teaches us something. Even when we're a bit sluggish, your mercy and your love and your compassion sees us through those seasons. And you've also given us a key how we can do it great. We are designed for this, Lord. We are designed for more. We are designed for your ultimate. We are designed for your best in our lives, in our everyday lives, and what you've got ahead for each of us individually and what you've got ahead for us as the hive. So we want to praise you and thank you and give you, Lord, all the glory and honor and praise. You so deserve it. You so deserve it. Amen. How good.